The Economic Development Housing Budget Division for Monday, March 30th will come to order. Fishbach, you want a chair?
I guess so.
Come on.
I was going to call for a quorum, actually.
Oh, just come in the chair. Because I don't see any of the authors.
Should we call some members?
Call on Thomas.
Yes.
That's all I have. Oh, I should probably take.
No.
How long is this bill going to take?
Come on, we're up.
Just cut them off. It won't take long at all.
You're going to be next because we're going to do this back.
$698.
He's the last one.
The other one?
He got it. Yep, $698.
Sorry, Senator Sparks.
Okay. He'll be okay.
Okay.
Senator Tomasoni, Senate File 698.
I know you always wanted to do that, so I had to.
I'm going to cut you off.
I had to see what it looked like at the other end of the table.
You got like 3 minutes. We're going to run a tight ship.
All right. Well, then I'll very quickly tell you that Senate File 698 is about gap financing, and gap financing means growth acceleration program. And what we're trying to do here is assist small businesses that need an economic boost and try to help them stay in business and compete and grow. And we've got results from companies using gap financing during the last 2 years that proves that gap grants are definitely a value worth the investment. And I've got Bob Kill here from Enterprise Minnesota and President and CEO, and he'll testify to those results. And then we've got some people that can give you some examples also of some of the things that they're doing. So. With your permission, Madam Chair, I'll turn this over to Mr. Kill.
Permission granted.
Thank you.
Madam
Welcome
Chair
committee,
and committee
sir.
Members, just a reminder that Enterprise Minnesota is maybe still known by some of you as Minnesota Technology. We're a nonprofit that works with Minnesota manufacturers to help them compete and grow profitably. And we thank you for the grant of 2 years ago.
Excuse me, sir. Did you state your name for the record? I guess we didn't.
Bob Kill.
Sorry.
President, Enterprise Minnesota. So we work with small manufacturers, and the bill of 2 years ago of $750,000 allowed us to help almost 70 companies to improve during this challenging time. And with me today are three executives who would like to speak on behalf of this. Denise Johnson, who is the Vice President of Right Way Manufacturing of Lester Prairie. Ed Polin from Central Container in Brooklyn Park, and Don Vandermeer from Flow International of McGregor. These three companies took advantage of the one-for-one match of the kind of services, and they'll tell you in their words how it helped their companies retain and create jobs during a very challenging time. Ms. Johnson?
Welcome to the committee. If you could just state your name for the record. And
Denise Johnson.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Oh, madam, I'm sorry.
No problem.
I've never done this before. I don't get outside my own little world here. As a successful leader in manufacturing company in central Minnesota, I want to express my strong support for the GAP program. Manufacturing is what drives this state, and during this down economy, it is the small and medium-sized businesses, manufacturing companies, that are the job sustainers and oftentimes the jobs creators. We are located about 37 miles west of 494 on Highway 7. We have 33 employees. During our peak, we have about 50. We are in a neighborhood of about 1,300 people in our town. And we do a lot for our community because of what the community brings to us. Last year, we were introduced to Bob Kill, and they explained the GAP program to us. And since then, we've implemented synchronous flow, which has helped with our process improvement. We've did everything in Excel, and now we have a MRP ERP system that was introduced to us, and that we probably wouldn't be there today, but January 5th we went live. We never had reviews for our employees. They introduced us to a review program called PIP, which lets the employee review us along with us review the employee. And we had one customer up until last year, which was FedEx Ground, and because of GAP, we were able to grow and expand. We've done marketing and advertising from the GAP program. We've gotten better with our engineering because of the consultants that have helped us with the GAP program. All these things that have helped us have been tremendous, and without Enterprise Minnesota and the GAP program, I would not be in business where I am today. We were able to do a $1.8 million expansion to diversify our business because of them. So I feel very blessed to have them be a part of our business.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson. And for the record, we do have a quorum.
Sorry.
Any questions for Ms. Johnson? Thank you very much. We appreciate you coming down. Hope you don't hit the snow on your way back. Mr. Vandermay? Thank you, sir. And if you could just state your name for the record.
Sure, Madam Chair, committee members. Thanks for the opportunity to express my views on this subject. My name is Don Vandermay with Flow International. We're a manufacturing company with two locations. Our primary headquarters is in McGregor, Minnesota, a very small town in Big Sandy Lake, central Minnesota, as well as on the east end of the Iron Range up in Hoyt Lakes. We employ about 70 people in total. Last year, we had about $3 million in payroll into these small communities. And we've been working with Minnesota Technologies at first, now Enterprise Minnesota, for several years on an initiative to move towards lean enterprise. And we've really focused on that a lot in the last few years with their help. And with the funds that were made available through GAP last year, we made some tremendous strides in launching our company into a true lean enterprise. I just wanted to share with you a few of the things that we've accomplished through our training that we've gotten through this grant funding. One of the things, these are hard numbers, if I go back about 2.5 or 3 years, as a $15 million company, I had $5.5 million in inventory. So I had a lot of capital tied up in inventory. And what we've learned through lean is that's one of the key wastes of a business. At the same time, let me back up. We had 5 to 6 week lead times to ship to our customers, which gets to be a bit unacceptable. Today, through the things that we've put into place, Kanban systems, basically the Toyota production system, way of handling inventory that we've learned through Enterprise Minnesota, our inventory today is at 2.6 million, so it's less than half of what it was then. And at the same time, our lead times to our customers went from over 5 weeks to just over a week. So the performance that we've gotten in return from the training and the things we've implemented through Enterprise Minnesota and the GAP grant has been tremendous to our business. I have to say that with the way things are right now in the last 6 or 8 months, it's likely I wouldn't have this opportunity to share this with you had we not gotten over $2 million of our cash, our capital, out of that inventory to turn it into working capital. So it's really been tremendous. A couple other things I'd like to share with you. Just the continuous improvement and the elimination of waste, that whole thinking with lean that they've conveyed to us real well over the years. It's hard to get traction with it. We've been working on it for 6 or 7 years. We've really accelerated it through this GAP grant. And now it's part of our culture at Flow. The people there, they get up in the morning to find ways to eliminate wasteful things that we do. And it's really in our culture. Our turnover just a few years ago used to be over 20% a year. It's virtually zero the last 18 months. We are the place people want to work in that area. So it's been very critical for us. I would absolutely take advantage of expanding our business further through this type of training. The thing with lean and this type of thing, it's not something you implement like an ERP system. It's a journey that you're on that you have to just continually work at. And, the more funds we have available combined with the outstanding team over at Enterprise Minnesota, right, from Bob through all of their trainers that I've worked with, it is really a winning 1-2 combination that if we keep doing this, manufacturing in the state of Minnesota can be a very well-oiled machine, and we can remain extremely competitive, which is obviously great for our state and our people. So I'm a firm believer in it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Madam Chair, I had a chance to tour one of the factories, and it's pretty impressive to see where they used to be and where they are now and how they've actually had a transformation from having way too much inventory to having just enough inventory and putting things out the door right when they need to. So it was pretty neat thing.
Wonderful. Any questions, committee, for Mr. Vandermay? Thank you very much, Mr. Vandermay, for coming down to me. Mr. Poland?
Chair sure got better.
Madam Chair, members, I'm Ed Poland. I work for Centro Container up in Brooklyn Park. We're a manufacturer of corrugated products, of typical brown box or high-end displays that you may see at Victoria's Secret or Best Buy or some pretty high-end stuff. We have 130 employees that primarily most of them live in the Brooklyn Park area. We've been, the company's 50 years old. Our owner, James Haglund, owned it for 30. And the building that we're in now, he broke ground in 1991. There's a picture of the former mayor at the time. We're in Zulu, so I don't have to tell you who the mayor is or was at that time, but it was Jesse.
Zulu?
And the lot was filled with, we have pictures of just broken up sidewalks and like a dump. All you are welcome to stop in. It's a very attractive site today. I've been in this business of lean manufacturing for a long time, 20 years. I had almost 30 years with IBM. I attend all the education that I can afford. Small companies like Centro Container and the companies that are with me today really don't have a budget for education. So the gap funding has really helped with our internal education because we all have to change, and the best way to sell change is through education. I was in Toronto this past fall. The Association of Manufacturing Excellence had its annual conference there. And the first keynote speaker was Jason Myers. He's president and chief economist for the Canadian Manufacturer and Export Group. And he said in a typical day, the way prices have been going up for the last 7 years, and selling price is about remain the same, like raw materials have been going up, steel's gone up, aluminum, corrugated, whatever. And but our selling prices for cars or whatever is made pretty much maintained the same. He says in a 480-minute workday, take the breaks out, companies make profit 4 minutes of that day. Pretty shocking statement, and nobody disagreed with him. There's 2,500 people in the audience. So what we've done with Enterprise Minnesota and their support has been great. We've had them come in to help our employees do value stream mapping. And we've done a lot of process improvement, but we never included the green. So, but we were the first Minnesota company to be registered in the Green Supplier Network. The things that we're saving on in our company, we're also saving the same amounts of money with our customers and our suppliers. And to get this, like I say, small companies like Central Container, we have no educational budget, and having the Enterprise Minnesota folks come in and train and then follow up and provide materials for us helped us sustain where we are today.
Thank you. Are there any questions, committee? Thank you very much, Mr. Poland. We appreciate it.
And Madam Chair, and I'd like to move that Senate file 698 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
Senator Tomasoni, that's fine.
Okay.
Actually, I was Senator Tomasoni. I got a note from one of the members who wanted me to, like, kill it or something, and so I was trying to figure out how to make that happen after you offered to lay it on the
probably,
table. So.
Probably cap.
So Senator Tomasoni laid 698 on the table. We don't have to vote on that. We do have to vote on it? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Yes.
I'm for it. And he says that he wants to lay it over for possible inclusion. We don't have to vote. We don't actually.
Is it tonight?
Okay.
I'm always right.
Put that in there somewhere.
That's why I stopped.
Yeah, but so. Senator Scheid, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am honored today to bring this bill for you. This is Senate File 1127, And we just realized here shortly before the meeting, actually as we were sitting over here, that we probably could have worded this more artfully. And so I'm going to suggest shortening it a great deal. This is looking for a grant for the South, what is called the Southeast Asian Collaborative, which is in Hennepin County. It's a collaborative of five agencies. And I think I will let Mr. Zander, are you going to speak first and tell them?
Before, Senator Shy, do you have an idea how much money you want to put in the blank?
I think we do. I think we're looking for about $250,000 a year for the 2 years.
Okay, so Senator Metzen will move on line 1.6 after the dollar sign, insert $250,000, or is that a $500,000 figure?
Well, you know, Mr. Chairman, the way the bill's written, it probably better say $500,000.
Okay.
$500,000
then. Okay, so all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye. Motion adopted. Okay. Do you want to make changes to the language
well,
now? Or
Mr. Chairman, maybe we should do that. I think that the money should go to DEED, to Employment and Economic Development, rather than Human Services. So I'm looking at something like $500,000 is appropriated from the general fund to the Commissioner of Employment and Economic Development for a grant to the Southeast Asian Collaborative in Hennepin County.
Council,
sorry
do you have
to rewrite the bill here in front of you, and I wish I had had more. If I had,
why don't you read the amendment?
Understood this earlier, but I think it's pretty typical language, and it probably doesn't need to have as much narrative in here as we do. Although I think we probably want to say what it must be used for, and I would find that on line 11. Where it says the primary effort must be on, I just would say the grant must be used for. And take it all the way to the middle of line 113 to the period. Stop right there. I think that would be enough. Again, I apologize.
And then,
for not.
And then you want to delete everything after
I
curriculum?
So, Chairman. I think so. Just. I don't think we need to give all the rationale. Mr. Zander showed me some language of another bill, and I thought, you know, we should just.
Counsel, you got all that?
Mr. Chair, I think I do have it.
Oh, David doesn't if you don't.
Do you have it? Okay. On line 1.6, after general fund to the, insert Commissioner of Employment and Economic Development. For a grant to, then it would read the Southeast Asian Collaborative in Hennepin County for an intensive intervention transitional employment training project to, Mr. Chair, I'm not sure, Senator Shide, did you want the information?
I don't think we need all of that.
Okay.
I think we can just say Hennepin County and end
okay.
there.
After, on line 1.7, after Hennepin County, delete the language for after four and through the end of the line and delete line 1.8 and 1.9 until June 30th, 2011. And Senator Shide, I can put that language
and
at the
I
end.
Would strike the
strike one of five.
I would strike line 10.
I would, yes, strike all of line 1.9, all of line 1.10, and on 1.11, services, period, and leave in the next sentence, lines 1, 11, 12, and 13. And after the after curriculum.
Wait, I think on 1.11 she wants the delete primary effort and insert the grant must be used for.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm sorry. On line 1.11. Delete primary effort
must be on.
It must be on and say the grant
must be used for.
What's that? I'm sorry. The grant must be used for.
And then to the line 113 to the end of curriculum. Put a period and end there. Striking everything else.
Mr. Chair and Senator Shide, would you like us to say at the end, though, that the grant shall be available until, or the money shall be available until June 30th, 2011?
I think maybe we probably do. Is that the end of fiscal year?
10.
Of 10. So we want this to be done through fiscal year 11. Right? Right. Yeah. So that would be it. That would be it. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Okay. So, so repeat that last one then. The grant will be available through June 30th, 2011.
Yes. Yes. The line would read then.
It should be at the end.
At the end, the grant shall be available until June 30th, 2011.
Okay. All right. Does everybody understand? Anybody, any questions? Okay.
On the work of committees, right?
On Senator Sparks, on Senator Sparks' motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion is adopted. Okay. Now we got the bill as amended in front of us. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And Mr. David Sander will speak to you and... Then I have two other people here from the collaboratives.
Okay, Mr. Zander, welcome to the committee. Please say your name for the record.
My name is David Zander. I work for the State Council on Asian Pacific Minnesotans. I'm very happy to have the bill amended. The background of this bill, we have been bringing many of the Southeast Asians to meet with legislators, and the primary issue that has emerged is the unemployment and layoffs in the Southeast Asian communities. We have had many other issues in the past. Mr. Sunny Chantanuvong, who is here with me with this collaborative, we've worked on problem gambling, getting money for counselors. We've worked on sexual trafficking. But we've worked on health issues, education. But the primary issue that is really coming up from the agencies here is the unemployment layoffs in the Southeast Asian communities. We are looking for real tangible results for the Southeast Asian communities, and we heard a lot about green jobs, we've heard a lot about weatherization, and we really think that some efforts to try to help these agencies fit in with this emerging long-term pattern for economic recovery is really one of the forces driving this bill. So our top priority is getting the Southeast Asians back into employment. Sunny Chantanuvong will tell you that there are Lao coming in to his agency in North Minneapolis who have been looking for jobs for 6 months unsuccessfully, and this will be repeated through the other agencies. So retraining. I must say that workforce centers, I'm sure they try to do a very good job, but they do not do a good job for the Southeast Asians who have limited English skills. I remember taking some of the agencies to visit a workforce center, and you know the one kind of thing is, well, you've got to have computer skills, you've got to have very good English skills. The Southeast Asians, first step, they go to the agencies with the employment services. So I'd like to introduce one of the directors who would be the fiscal agent for this collaborative, Mr. Sunny Chantanuvong. But let me just quickly mention that we have Mrs. Lee Vang here from the Hmong American Mutual Assistance Association. We have the Center for Asian Pacific Islanders, Julie here, which is a large agency. I'm very proud of that agency in terms of workforce development. They have had an excellent program with employers in the Chaska-Chanhassen area, recruiting from the inner city, putting them through training, getting them into livable workers, livable jobs. The employers really telling the agency what skills they want to see when these applicants come. It's a long-standing program. And then we have the United Cambodian Association of Minnesota. So let me please introduce Mr. Sunny Chantanuvong.
One second. Senator Kilash, do you want to ask?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Mr. Zander, I'm familiar with the Workforce Investment Boards and Associations, and many of these
agencies because I sat on the Minneapolis one for 10 years, and I know that these agencies are getting WIA funding, and I'm just wondering if this is on top of the WIA funding you're getting, because they've been well-funded, at least in the metro area, for the last couple of years, or is this in place of it? Can you tell me why you're requesting more funding?
For our agency did not exist. No.
Well, I'm not familiar with the funding that you're talking about. What I do know is that these agencies are very lacking in funding for the employment counseling work that they are doing. Ramsey County seems somewhat stronger, but particularly the Lao agency that's here, they're very often invisible, left out of the loop. Sonny, can you address the question of where your funding comes for employment counseling?
We don't have funding.
Sonny, can you say your name for the record, please?
My name is Sonny. My last name is Chantan Wong. Madam Chair and Committee. Lao Assistance Center have been provide service for Laosan community in Minnesota for almost 20 years. Usually we don't have the unemployment receive any unemployment funding, but we provide to helping our community itself. Because we cannot say no to them, they have to come in to our agencies. Most of people have English limited. They cannot speak English. They're working before 1990. At that time, they just asked them if you'll be able to cut the line and then clean this floor, and then we just. And they work here for a long time until late last year. A lot of companies were laid off. People run up to us, and I refer them to hired. I refer them to workforce center, and they was bowed back to us. Suddenly, I was there. And they just told me that computer is opened, you can go ahead. And this computer is open, you can go ahead. Our community cannot access, even don't know how to upload computer. They know how to do the work daily. And they're not looking for beyond to get doctor degree. They're looking for a job right now to continue to get a family because due to lack of the work. So many people coming to my agency, they could not get a job from 6 to 9 months right now. We try to helping them prepare the resume, how to do introduction, how to shake their hand, how to go interview, but they still need hand-on-hand for the service for our agency. We need the agency to have appropriate counseling to lead those people one-on-hand, one-on-one, to get the service.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, Senator Kielash, I think this is a unique situation in the sense that people came here as adults, having fought in Southeast Asia with Americans, helping the Americans. We let the reward, I guess, for doing that, after they suffered enormous, enormous loss of life among their own people in doing that. And the reward was to be able to come to this country. And so people came, and there were jobs, and people did, as he was describing, they learned a job and did it really well. And now, with the crisis in the economy and people having layoffs, you have people who have skills for something that isn't happening right now, and they need to get more updated skills, and their young people, their children, also need to do that. And language is a barrier, and obviously understanding how to do a computer, how to just log on and get around on it is something that they need to be able to teach people, and that's not something that's available, I think, in our traditional. I mean, we make some assumptions about what people know coming in the door of the workforce centers, and I think that these agencies that are part of this collaborative are very skilled in knowing the needs of the community. It's a very close-knit community here. I represent a lot of people, Laotian people, Hmong people, Brooklyn Center in Brooklyn Park, North Minneapolis, and of course there are Vietnamese and Cambodian other people as well, but large numbers of people who are Lao or Hmong. And it's just particular. It's not, I don't know that it's unique to this community only for Southeast Asians, but there are so many people here that it is a large problem for their community. So that's why we're here asking for this money. I don't think it's on top of any money they're already getting.
Senator Kulesh.
Mr. Chair, Senator Scheid, I don't doubt there's a need. Part of my question is because a couple of these agencies, the Workforce Investment Board in Minneapolis funded at least 15 years ago for exactly that, workforce development, including, and in fact, the Hmong American Mutual Assistance has been one of the most successful, as has CAPI. I don't know, remember the other agencies that you're dealing with, but I guess my point is if there's an agency that needs funding because they haven't had it in the past, that's one thing. But I do know there's quite a bit of funding through the feds for at least the city of Minneapolis. Since I'm not from St. Paul, I don't know what that is exactly like. I realize there's a need. It just what I don't want to do is add more money on to what other agencies are already doing.
Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, I think I would be suggesting, as I think that these folks have suggested to me, is that there's a somewhat unique need here because of the language issues and cultural issues. And so I appreciate that there may have been other money. I'm not so sure. I think that these agencies are uniquely positioned to understand the needs of the clients more so than our traditional. I mean, I understand that a couple of them have worked well. You're saying that, and I'm glad to hear that. I just think there's a particular need here now because I think that system is already overwhelmed with the rest of us, white Americans, who've lived here all our lives and have spoken English all of our lives. I think that we are overwhelming the system. And
Mr. Chair, Senator Scheid, it's. I agree, but one of the things that I'm aware of is also there's federal funding for ELS classes, English as a second language, ESL classes for a variety of things that deal directly with the immigrant population. And there's many agencies have been incredibly successful working with the Asian community already. And I realize that the Lao is not one that I'm familiar with, but I also know that there's others that have been very successful and that they've been tapping funds from the federal government in many cases or the state boards to help get folks working and their language barrier down. Much of that funding is going through the metro area cities, and Hennepin County had money in that. So I'm just trying to make sure that we're all aware that there's other funding sources and that I know there's funding sources for the Southeast Asia Committee because I've, like I said, successful agencies within the city of Minneapolis got funded more and heavily. So I know there's never enough money for the training.
Mr. Zander.
Mr. Chair, Senator, what I am hearing from these agencies is that there was some help, like for MFIB, and the case workload has been extremely high. What we are now faced with is a second wave. It was a very fast process to try to get the newcomers employed. Now we're finding they are laid off, and the jobs that they have filled, the manufacturing assembly work aren't there. So there is no funding, as I understand it, to help them retrain and really access what we're talking about, green jobs. What I'm learning is that in the House side, we have had a very strong contact with Hennepin County Technical College, and these agencies helping these students, if they didn't have GED, get into these classes with employment counselors there to help them with the workforce place English. So the funding is not as prolific as we're sort of suggesting there. There hasn't been the funding for this retraining. It doesn't exist right now for the retraining. And that is why this collaborative has come together.
Okay. Senator Dibble.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. And I've actually a couple years ago had these conversations with these five groups, the Lao Assistance Center, the Hmong American Mutual Assistance Association, the Association for the Advancement of Hmong Women, and the Center for Asian Pacific Islanders and the United Cambodian Association. And the need was well identified and articulated then that the workforce centers and some of the others just simply didn't provide for the kind of, you know, cultural specificity and competency. And if you look in the language that we struck, you know, the kind of, I think the key here is, you know, is the, you know, really matching folks up with some retention specialists and some folks who can help, you know, with that intensive intervention, get them the workplace, you know, the basic workplace math skills and language skills, and then also provide that one-on-one mentorship counseling. It's only been, you know, this bill is only highlighted because the situation has been exacerbated by the economic downturn. And so, you know, I've been persuaded for some time that this sort of transitional employment effort has been needed, you know, and carried out through these five agencies that do a fantastic job. You know, $500,000, a lot of money in a time that we don't have any, but I'm glad that Senator Scheid has brought this initiative forward so that we can talk about it and think about it and acknowledge.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, you people know more than I what is available with any federal stimulus money that's coming, or it seems to me that this would fit in very well, at least with what the president is talking about, and helping people. I mean, it's a really unique situation in a sense, because maybe people's, I don't know if language skills got a whole lot better, but they learned to do what they did. And now nobody's doing that, or very, you know, fewer companies are doing it. So they've lost jobs, and that's what people know how to do to earn a living here, and it's no longer available. So there's a unique need. I think it's easy for us to talk about retraining, but that people were uniquely trained in the first place to have those jobs that no longer exist. So I think it's right to sort it out from the whole mass of all of the retraining and all of that we're doing, and recognize that there are particular needs here. I'd like these both gentlemen. I don't know, Sonny, did you want to say more? You want to? He has his testimony, so we can hand it out, and someone will get that for you. Did you have some to hand out also? Okay, you want to give that to her too, but you can certainly speak and both. But you can. You want to give away? You want to read?
Oh, you have it. Okay. Sonny, do you want to read your testimony first, or did he already give his testimony?
I would like to add a few words that I would like to say that, Mr. Chair and member of committee, I would like to say that our community need a lot of help. The member of the community, they are not pursued to get a doctor or PhD. They're pursued to get a little bit more skill for themselves to go back to the workforce so they can get a job. They are to me that. As long as I get a job, they said that we are not lazy group. We would like to get a job to maintain, to keep family home. I would like to go back to the same job. Just give me some skill a little bit so I can go back to that. I can work for whatever hours I can do, but it's no job for me. It's no preparation for me. I cannot just go apply in that job that they can, when they look at my resume, when I walk in, they're not going to hiring for me for sure. I would like to stay the same job, but maybe upgrade me a little bit. That's our group. That's our part in collaboration we would like to do. We would like to build up our community council and then working among agency and organization and company so we can replay those people back to the job field right away. That's our goal and our purpose.
Thank you.
Introduce,
say your name for the record, please.
My name is Joe Van.
from CAPI, formerly known as the Center for Asian and Pacific Islanders.
Okay, welcome.
Yeah, thank you. thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. We are here, since I already hand out the my information, so I'm not going to say much about what I brought in, but what I'm saying is that I have been a job counselor with the CAPI CAPI for quite some time now. And I believe this is the year that economy situation right now hit our people the hardest ever. We got people that lay off and never get back to work. We got people that never passed a job interview. We got people that went to the workforce. And workforce did not serve them well because they lack English skill. They don't know how to do resume online. They don't know how to fill job application online. Even though filling out job application manually, it was really hard for them. So I believe that right now we talk about green job, we talk about many other jobs, but certainly our people are not going to be up to that skill. And I believe training, retraining is really important to get these people back to the work. I also like to mention something about the current situation is that we actually, we've been funding in the past, but we had lost some staff due to short funding, and we were not able to replace those. That's created, that's give us those that had the opportunity to stay on the job, more work to do. So I believe that if the funding is appropriate, if we vote yes on the bill, we're going to help our people a lot, and our people are going to get jobs. And when people get jobs, people feel confident. Their children are going to have a place to live. As many of us may know, our people rely on more than one job to survive. So when they have a job, they're going to be a productive member in society. So thank you.
When you have a job, everything else falls into place, doesn't it? Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, can Mr. Zander absolutely say one more thing here?
Absolutely.
I'm very impressed with the impact of a couple of these agencies statewide. Sunny Chantanuvong tours the state. The Lao have settled in Warroad. They're with Marvin Windows. They're about... I think 1,000 in Worthington. They are in communities like Mountain Lake. And Mr. Sunny Chantanuvong, if he had some of this funding, would be enabled to travel out to these communities and work with the unemployed who rurally. The same with Lee Vang, who is here, is with the Hmong Women's the Association of Advance of Hmong Women. Lee Vang has said that she really wants you to notice that they are trying to work with the low-income Hmong and Lao, Vietnamese, Cambodian. Same with CAPI. There are Vietnamese in Marshall. So a limited amount of funding like that is very, very effective in getting the word out, getting the training started in some of the communities around the state. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you have... another witness?
Mr. Chairman, I don't think anybody else is going to speak. Is that correct?
Okay. Are there any comments or questions from the committee members? Okay. Seeing none, then Senator Sparks will move that Senate File 1127 as amended be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion adopted. Thank you all very much. We'll do what we can.
Mr. Chairman, and I know you will, and I thank you for your... generous hearing time.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Very good, very nice job. Senator Erickson Ropes.
What are you digging for there?
Okay. Okay. Senator Erickson Ropes, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. Well, I'm here today with two local officials from the city of Rushford, and first I want to thank you on their behalf and the city of Rushford for all the support that the Senate and the House and the governor gave the last two years, with flooding down in Rushford. And one of the reasons we're here today is we're asking for an appropriation that had been previously given to the city of Rushford for a nanotechnology facility, that be approved to be reappropriated to a community center. And Mayor Les Ladewig is here, and the city administrator, Wendy Block, and they can fill you in with some of the background about why we're making this switch. The nanotechnology center does not need this money, but we did lose the community center during the flood, and that has not been replaced yet. We have some FEMA money and matching money back in Rushford, but we would like this committee to authorize a reappropriation of $600,000 from 2005. So with that, I'll introduce Wendy Block.
Thank you.
Mr. Block,
thank you.
Welcome.
Wendy Block, City Administrator for Rushford. Mr. Chair, may I ask, do the committee members have a copy of our information?
Yep, we do.
Okay, yep. Thank you. Now, I'm just going to run through some of the questions then, and if perhaps they'll raise other questions. But I tried to put this into some type of a format that would allow us to work through how we got here from the year 2005, and actually it goes way back to 2001. In Rushford, we've had a group since 2001 that have been extremely interested in nanotechnology, which is essentially the study of how you disassociate an atom to change the properties of material and make new materials for use in manufacturing in our future. And they believe that it has great possibilities and as such have worked very hard to make that happen. So since 2005, when this grant was awarded, we've kept the RINTEC group in concert with the city working. And question two says that the RINTEC still exists today as a 501c3 nonprofit and remains very active with its board and offices intact. The third question, why did the original appropriation then never get used or put to its intended uses, I think is the important question. And throughout the last period of years, we've been well-schooled now in the state capital bonding law, at least to the extent that we can, and with the courtesy of and help of many people from DEED, we've been shown that there are certain ways that it works and some ways that it doesn't work. And unfortunately, in this particular case, this project was attached to a funding vehicle, which I think, as someone once told me, if you put something on the wrong type of horse and it can't get to the finish line, it won't get there. And we've been trying desperately to get to the finish line and have been unsuccessful to this point. The fourth question, were sufficient efforts ever made to resolve the issues? I believe the history the last 4 years is well documented with many meetings between the city of Rushford and DEED officials and legislators trying to find a solution to this. And it's no one's fault. It's just that it was not the proper thing to do due to the law and the Constitution of the state of Minnesota. So the urgency in question five is, why are we looking for a solution now? Well, part of those same rules say that if you don't get the job done in 4 years, then it terminates and the thing goes back. And so we've been, in the last year, extremely interested in trying to find a solution and finding the right thing to do. And I think in working with Senator Ropes and Representative Davids, who represent our area, they've helped us hopefully find a way to do that in working with the officials out of DEED. Question six, I think, is the background that perhaps tells you most about Rushford. Obviously, you know about the flood in 2007, but probably what you don't know so much about is that in 2006 and in 2007, we were notified that we lost our major employer in town, and that was the TRW Automotive Plant, which ultimately closed in June of 2007, and with it the 175 jobs that Rushford had been depending on for over 25 to 30 years of existence. So between that and then the flood comes along and destroys most of the community, as you well know from previous testimony we've had here, essentially we lost the community center. And working with FEMA, they reallocated some dollars to allow us to build it at an alternate site to rebuild a similar size facility, which roughly is a 100-person center, if you can envision that, and 3,900 square feet. FEMA has also since, in verbal discussions, although they're slightly behind in their writing because of other obligations they've had, especially up in the Red River Valley, they have also said that if we can find a way to build a larger center, which is called an improved project, they would be happy to allocate that lump sum toward that improved project. So we anticipate no issues with FEMA. They've been very supportive in working with the city. Question seven, what would the proposed language change do for the community? Obviously, it would allow us to build a larger 400-seat community center, affording us the opportunity to regain lost tourism, as well as events of celebration. And naturally, it would allow us to nurture recreational and educational opportunities for residents in the Rushford Valley. And if you've ever been down there, you realize Rushford is only a part of really three communities. The city of Rushford Village is also there with its 750 residents, and the city of Peterson with its approximately 300 residents. So collectively, that is our community, even though we all maintain separate identities. But in the end, this facility would allow us to do that. And is it something the city can do this time? Because obviously, if I were you, I'd be asking that question. And we believe that we have the pieces in place. The match dollars are there, although they may require some sorting out with the law. We just want to make sure everything's proper. But we believe the dollars are there. And the desire of the community, along with RINTEC, the city council, the EDA, to get this job done is certainly well in force, and we are prepared to move forward if you so grant. And with that, I would turn it over to the mayor to close with question number nine, which I think is significant for this process.
Welcome, Mayor. Nice to see you again.
Les Ladewig, Mayor, City of Rushford. Nice to see you again, Mr. Chairman, and fellow members of the committee. There's absolutely no doubt, and I think...
Say your name, Mayor, please.
Les Ladewig. Okay. Les Ladewig, Mayor of City of Rushford. While there's absolutely no doubt the extraordinary things that you've done to help Rushford recover from the disastrous flood event of 2007... for which we are very grateful and deeply indebted, and I would invite you to come to Rushford and allow us to show you what your investment in our community has brought back to vitality since the days of that flood. I want to thank you for the opportunity to revisit this as existing appropriation, because that, too, is going to be extremely vital to the success of our recovery. It would enable us to grow our economic base a little bit more, not only just for Rushford, but most importantly, and largely in part, the entire region of southeastern Minnesota, which Mr. Black already said encompasses some townships as well as our city of Rushford Village, Peterson, and even I've had some comments come from people from as far away as Winona that they would like to see us get this facility up and running. So in the future, we would still also like to be able to provide assistance of whichever way we can for RINTEC to keep on with their mission. We are currently working with Rushford Hypersonic. It's a kind of a branch of that, and they've got their facility almost up and running, and they've done some prototype work, and hopefully they'll get into full-scale production within the next couple of months. So thank you for your time. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, Mayor. Are there any questions, Senator Kubley?
Yeah, well, Mr. Mayor, or... the other witness, I'm sorry, I forgot your name.
Mr.
But,
Block.
I guess, I went to a flood meeting down in Houston, as I recall, and I went through Rushford. I thought I'd get a bite to eat there, and everything was closed because of the flood. I just wondered the extent to which they had been able to rebuild, and are they pretty much back to normal, or, you know, are they still having some struggles because of the flood?
Mr. Chairman and Senator, there about 60 of the businesses are back up and functioning and running. There's currently 4 eating establishments that are servicing the public with entertainment and bowling and food and drink and what have you, as well as a lot of our other retail stores that are up and going. We are currently in the process. The retail drugstore just opened up here within the last week as its new location in the middle of town, as well as the new clinic facility is scheduled to open at a target date sometime in June. And with that, a lot of the other retail stores, the parts store and the Lefse shop, have successfully all come back online. And there are a minimal amount of folks that are still working. There's still some new construction going on to get them folks back up and going. And they are using the available resources to make that work.
You didn't bring any Lefse?
I certainly could have, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, we'll have to make sure that happens because I tend to consider myself rather an expert in Lefse eating, and they do have the best Lefse that I have ever tasted.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Chair, could I have a follow-up? You know, thank you. Mr. Mayor, I guess, you know, are there buildings in the business community that had go through a buyout program or anything like that where you had to relocate them because of the damage to their business or not?
Here.
Mr. Chairman and Senator, to my knowledge, there wasn't anything that was really relocated because of the structural damage. There's been some significant rebuilding with some structural engineers looking on how to stabilize some buildings. But as far as any of those people that we had in the core downtown area, they are still going to be back up and functioning primarily in their same location.
Thank you.
Maybe you guys explained this already and I missed it. Okay, so we're not going to do the nanotechnology center. We're going to do a community facility. But what is the appropriation not subject to? Maybe I should have counsel give me that. What is this here? The appropriation not subject to?
Well, Mr. Chair, the memo that they gave us answers the question well, I think. It just exempts them from the requiring that if a grant doesn't get spent within 4 years that it would be canceled. So this would exempt them from the cancellation until January 1st of 2015.
Okay, then what's the other exemption?
Mr. Chair, I'm not 100% sure the second piece is that those particular sections refer to the requirements for these redevelopment accounts and just what would have to be contained in an application and other content.
Senator Erickson Ropes.
Yes, Mr. Chair, and actually Mr. Jensen and Lynn Botsley have been working on some language. I think this the last sentence there that you're looking at is old language that came from a past bill that we've just, well, actually, this is the original bill that you're looking at. And it seems to be an oxymoron because it's exempting us from the requirements of the match, but then the rest of the sentence holds us accountable to the match. So I think what Mr. Jensen and Ms. Botsley are working on is some language that would fix that. And if you want to hear from Ms. Botsley, she would be happy to.
Do we have the language, or are we still working on it?
We're still working on it, Mr. Chair, and our hope is that this committee will support the bill and we'll get the language tuned up before the next committee.
Mr. Jensen?
Why can't you just exempt it? Why can't you just say available until there's a match?
Well, Mr. Chairman, members, do you have the match to make now?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, yes, we do. So Mr. Block, you can address that a little further if you'd like to, but we do have the available resources for that requirement.
Then are there reporting requirements that you don't want to do? Is that the issue?
No, Mr. Chair, I think the issue is for us is not the match, we do not believe, but but the way the language states, it says to make sure there's no state dollars in there. And I would raise the issue, I guess, to understand that FEMA, my understanding is FEMA has in its formula some state dollars built into it. So we want to make sure that everyone's clear going in up front that we're all in agreement, what's being used, how it's being used. And so I think it's just a matter of we have no issue with the match. We just want to make sure that it's clean and that no one comes back and second guesses it afterwards.
Ms. Batsley, you want to say something? Do you want to?
Lynn Batsley. I'm the legislative liaison at DEED. And I met with our Mr. Jensen earlier to talk about the language, and we were not sure at that time what the intent of the senator was. And since then, we have talked, and they agree that they have the match, and they're fine to go along with the requirements there. But I don't know enough about FEMA to know if there are state dollars in there and if that would cause a problem. And so that's what we were hoping to talk to Mr. Jensen again about.
Mr. Jensen? From non-state source. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, we're looking at page 2, line 28, where it says non-state sources. Is there any FEMA money in that amount? And there is?
That's the question, Mr. Chair. Mr. Jensen, I believe that we are using FEMA money as part of the matching money, and by definition, FEMA money may have some state money mingled in with it.
Okay, so the grant is exempt from the requirements of Minnesota statutes, which is that the match statute? Okay, but it's not available. So even though your non-state money might have some money, might have some state money in it.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and we're trying to figure out how to make sure that that doesn't screw this whole thing up, right?
Exactly right.
Have you,
so, Mr. Chair, we were hoping that we would be able to work outside a committee with Mr. Jensen and Ms. Botsley to get exactly the language that we need.
All right.
As long as the committee agrees with the concept.
Does the committee agree with the concept? Okay. And does the committee understand the concept? Okay. There's one other little concept here that we might have a little issue with, and that is that since this is a bonding bill, that if we put it into the economic development bill, then we may need a supermajority to pass the bill. And so what I'd like you to do, Senator Erickson Ropes, is to check with Senator Langseth to see if there's any way that we can get this into his bonding bill eventually. And I think they'll probably be able to do it in the maybe either on the floor or in the conference committee. Because it just appears to me that this is something that we've already given out and just needs to be retooled a little bit. So I don't think you'll have a problem with that. That's the direction I'd rather go than to have to include it into our bill, because then it makes us a bonding bill and it gives us supermajority status. Not that I believe our bill will have a problem, but you never know. So,
Mr. Chairman, there are at least two provisions like this in the bonding bill now that are just extensions of money.
So I don't think it'll be too big an issue with Senator Langseth. So Senator Dibble.
I was just wondering if one of the other ones was the planetarium in Minneapolis. Is that in there?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure, but the City of Worthington has an extension in there.
Okay, so so what we'll do here then is we'll lay this over to put it wherever you want it to go after you figure it all out, okay? No, in other words, we'll just lay this over for possible consideration in the economic development bill, and then what I want you to do is talk to Senator Langseth, and if he's okay with it, we'll send it over to the bonding committee without any problem, okay?
Terrific. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Any other comments or questions from anybody? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank
appreciate
you very
it.
Much.
Mr. Chair,
okay.
Members.
Mr. Chair, members.
Cap.
Mr. Chair, members, on Wednesday we are hearing from Public Broadcasting and hearing a number of public broadcasting bills. For members' information, we only have 3 scheduled meetings left before we have to pass our omnibus bill out. So as far as hearing bills, time is dwindling very fast. But we've heard a vast majority of the bills, and so we'll probably start assembling the outlines of an omnibus bill over the next week or so.
Yeah, we'll keep you informed as to what that's going to look like, and if you have input, let us know. Is it April 16th we have to have it out here, by?
Yes.
Okay. All right, that's our committee deadline. So, all right, any questions, anybody? All right, meeting adjourned.